Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the first ever Billboard on Broadway podcast. Hooray! Like any good theater nerd, I am suppressing my urge right now to burst into my best rendition of Willkommen from Cabaret. So I will just say I am your host. My name is Rebecca Milzoff. I'm a senior editor at Billboard, and I'm a music journalist, but I've also been writing about theater for over 10 years, and to call me a big theater fan would be the understatement of the year. To give you a little background on my own Broadway experience, my first ever Broadway show was The Secret Garden, which, of course, introduced me to the wonderful world of Mandy Patinkin, a pivotal moment in anyone's life. And my first ever real professional writing assignment was a review of Rent when the national tour came to Hartford, Connecticut, which I did because, like any self-respecting Rent fan, I thought no one was qualified to write about Rent except for me. So most of you, if you're, you know, sentient human beings at this point, have probably heard of this show called Hamilton. But way before Hamilton, the sound of pop music has been a big part of the most inventive musical theater out there. And it's going to be even more so for a long time going forward. Some of you may know about a new musical called Dear Evan Hansen. And just last week, the original cast recording of Dear Evan Hansen, which you should totally look up on Spotify right now. It's amazing to rock out to in the private room of your choice. Had the highest debut on the Billboard 200 since 1961. It dropped at number 8. And yes, that was even better than Hamilton. It's possible. So to me, that is really incredible proof of the fact that there is this huge overlap now, and certainly a lot more going forward is going to happen between musical theater and pop music. So on this podcast each week, I'm going to share some stories and interview some really great theater people, and hopefully illuminate a little bit for all of you how much I see theater and the worlds of pop music and pop culture have in common right now. So I'm here for you if you're a big musical theater fan. I'm here for you if you saw Hamilton and maybe you're a little more interested in it now. And I'm here for you if you think theater was never for you, but you're open-minded. And you should be. So to kick things off on this first podcast, I want to start talking about a lady who is one of the very small group of pop artists through the years who actually deserves the iconic label. And she just turned 75, Carole King. I'm sure many of you who know Carole King remember your first Carole King memory. I definitely know mine. I was in sixth grade and I had to put together a book of poetry, except it was all other people's poetry, which now seems like a strange assignment for children. But I remember my mom telling me, you know, music is like poetry. And she suggested I look at this album Tapestry in her record collection. Now, I am far from the first person to have a life-changing Tapestry moment, so I am not claiming originality here, but I basically just wanted to put all the lyrics from Tapestry into my book and, like, recreate Tapestry for my sixth grade teacher. And, you know, I think we all know Carole King is a poet. She's a gifted songwriter. She's so relatable and kind of this, you know, earthy, regular gal figure, no matter how you discover her. And she was definitely, for me, sort of a gateway singer before I got into sort of confessional pop singer-songwriters like Tori Amos and Fiona Apple and Liz Phair. In sort of the couple of years after that, I'm sure it was in large part because I heard Carole King first. So cutting to 2014, this musical called Beautiful, the Carole King musical, lets you know exactly what it is, opened on Broadway, and it was reviewed really well. It won a couple Tonys. It has a national tour ongoing now. It's still going strong on Broadway. It's crazy. If you walk past the theater, you see people waiting outside of it on weekends. And it went on to win the Grammy for Best Original Cast Recording in 2015. But why is it actually a good musical? You know, as many of us know from experience, the idea of a quote-unquote jukebox musical where an artist canon is used to put a show together doesn't always result in something that's really compelling on stage. Plenty of us know that Carole King's music is great, but that doesn't guarantee that the musical isn't going to be boring. So why is Beautiful such a compelling show? It's the story of Carole. It's the story of her and her collaborator and eventually her husband, Jerry Goffin, and how they kind of started to find success together in New York as songwriters. It's really sort of the beginning of the Carole King story, and that's what drives the show and really what drives her best songs, too. They're story songs. They are self-contained stories. They genuinely come from what she was living at the time, and that's, you know, a big part of why we all love her. And just like a great song you hear when you see the show, I think that's what makes it compelling. So my first guests on the podcast are Chelina Kennedy and Jake Epstein, who came by the Billboard office recently to perform in our Pre-Tonys Live series, which I encourage all of you to check out on the Billboard Facebook page. Chelina is playing Carole, and Jake originated the role of Jerry. And we were lucky to chat with both of them before their upcoming final performances in early March. And here's my conversation with Chelina and Jake.
You make me feel like a natural
woman. So we just heard this amazing performance for you guys. Thank you so much for coming in. First, for anyone who's seen the musical, who hasn't seen the musical yet, can you tell us a little bit about what they'll see in it of Carole King and Jerry Goffin's life?
Yeah.
Sure. Hey, this is the first podcast you've done, right?
Yes.
So we just want to take a moment to be like, thanks for asking us to be the first.
That's
pretty
cool. Exciting. Yay, Broadway.
Yay, Broadway, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like the show starts out with, you know, the story of Carole at 16 and how she meets Jerry Goffin at Queens College and the beginning of their collaborative life together in terms of songwriting.
You know, everyone knows Carole. A lot of people know Carole King. A lot of people don't know that she wrote, before she became a solo artist, she wrote songs for famous acts at the time, the Shirelles, the Drifters. She wrote The Locomotion for Little Eva, and Jerry Goffin was her first husband and lyricist. And so the bulk of the story actually is about their troubling, difficult, and wonderful collaboration and relationship.
And their love story. It really is, you know, a big love story. It's a musical love story, but it's also a love story between these two characters.
Yeah,
and that's what I think makes it so beautiful.
Yes. That ends the title. Yes. and then you see Carole like become Carole King. Like you see like how she kind of found her voice
I always say it's chapter one in the life of Carole King too. Carole King has had an amazing life, you know, very full life. And, you know, this is sort of leading up to Tapestry. So it's a lot of what people don't know about those early days and how those songs came to be, you know, what we all know as, you know, oh, the big, you know, Drifters hit, or, you know, the Aretha Franklin hit, or the James Taylor hit.
And I was going to say too that I didn't realize, and I'm sure a lot of people didn't realize, that Jerry sang as well. And that I found these like old YouTube videos of him singing like demos.
Yeah,
and
he's got sort of a Bob Dylan thing going on.
He has like this sort of old doo-wop singer kind of voice.
Yeah.
I was like, could that really be him? The voice doesn't seem to match the person.
I think he did release a few albums, but I think a lot of it was him just putting a voice on a demo.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, it's singing in the style of some famous artist that he wanted to record his song.
Yeah.
So yeah, I know they released a lot of those demos recently, which is pretty cool.
It's a fun little YouTube rabbit hole to go down if anybody wants to just Google Jerry Goffin and see what happens. I think that, you know, this show has been immensely successful. It's been on Broadway since 2013. The cast album won a Grammy Award. The show won 2 Tony Awards, one of which was for sound design, which I feel is like so important in a show, especially like this.
Yes.
It's like, it's like one of those unsung awards.
We were the last, you know, they took the sound design award out of the Tonys.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we were
and
the
there was
last.
Was major backlash to
yes,
that. Yeah.
And the sound design like makes the show and makes a lot of shows. So we were all very like strongly advocating for putting that award back in. But yeah, the show won for sound design.
Yeah. And I think that it's especially rare for a show that is, you know, a really well-known pop singer songbook to be so successful on its own. I mean, when you two, first of all, I want to know, when you auditioned, did you sing Carole King songs, or what were your audition songs for the show? Do you remember?
I just went right in singing Carole King tunes.
I'm trying to remember. It was a while ago. I think I actually had a. I think I might have had a James Taylor song prepared. I might have sang a little part of it. And then I think I sang, yeah, I think it was Up on the Roof was the audition song. Yeah.
And you know what else I wanted to say too? Like, I always describe this show to people. It's not really a jukebox musical. It's more like a play with music. You actually get to hear the songs as they are being created a lot of the time. And a lot of it takes place like in actual, you know, right now time, you know, like they're being created right in front of you.
Mm-hmm. No, which I think is part of its success as well.
Yeah.
When you go into playing real life people, I feel like for an actor that's always a challenge. What was each of your approaches to, you know, not just doing a Carole King impersonation and just, you know, really embodying her spirit, embodying Jerry's spirit, which obviously you had a little less material to go on, I would think.
But also, you know, Carole King is very private. You can't, you know, there's not a ton of interviews that you can find online. There's not a lot of, fortunately, she's written an autobiography. So I was able to read that. And I watched as much as I could. And, you know, I listened and watched a lot of the material that the director sent me. There are a lot of these great kind of, like the demos, you know, that have been released of Carole singing a lot of these songs, like Take Good Care of My Baby, some of these lesser known songs. So I listened to a lot of versions of her singing those songs to get some, you know, some other versions in my head other than Tapestry. But you know, there's a couple of things about these characters that are really that hit the mark for me in terms of who they are as people. I mean, and like you said, and we don't want to do Saturday Night Live versions of, you know, these characters, but we want to, you know, kind of make them live through us. So that's kind of the best way that I found to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had an easier job in some respects because Jerry Goffin, people don't know what he sounds like necessarily. People know his work. And so for me, it wasn't as necessary to like do it sort of any kind of imitation of Jerry's voice or, you know what I mean? It was to find the spirit of Jerry. Yeah, through Carole's autobiography and through a lot of his lyrics, just the kind of person that would write. I just find it so fascinating that Jerry wrote these female empowerment anthems. He wrote the lyrics to Natural Woman. He wrote the lyrics to Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow.
Like, I mean, isn't that amazing? I always love that.
Yeah,
he was an early feminist in pop
he was.
Music.
He absolutely
that's
was.
Awesome.
And like had this keen insight into people. And so I think that informed how I created the character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is there some kind of Carole King boot camp you have to kind of go through to be in this show? Did you have to do a lot of deep research? Or I know a lot of actors will take the opposite approach and just be like, I want to come into this clean. How did you kind of prepare?
I mean, I'm always a bit method. Like, I spent about 6 months really in depth. You know, I'm like brushing up on my piano skills and, you know, really watching everything that I could and listening to. I literally listened to Tapestry maybe like 3 times a day for months before I, you know, came to do the show.
That's a lot.
And also, too, I think, you know, because, you know, the voice is a really delicate thing. Like, I was singing Mary Poppins. I did a run of Mary Poppins before I came to do Carole King, which is entirely different
Pretty
for
different,
the voice.
Yeah.
So you want to kind of place it in the world that it's going to be in, you know? And it's obviously takes a couple months for your voice to kind of fit into the where you're trying to put it, you know, to sing a role.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a while.
Yeah, I was doing Spider-Man. I was playing Spider-Man before I went into Beautiful. So that was, like, a funny switch of... physicality and vocals.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for...
This isn't really you two, I guess.
This, exactly, yeah. I mean, I, you know, I was fortunate enough to originate the part. And so I'd never been part of a new musical like this on this kind of scale. And so, and I got to be part of the final reading for it. So kind of being part of the development, having tons of conversations with Doug McGrath, who wrote the book, which was nominated for a Tony Award, and I think he did amazing work. And so it became, like Shalina said, it's a play with music. It became less and less about trying to tell the Carole King story and, like, what is this story? What is this play? Who are our characters? You know, who are our relationships, deepening that? And so, yeah, so dramaturgically, like, just being part of this whole thing has been amazing for me.
I was going to say that both of you have background having been in kind of more rock pop feeling musicals before this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
As well, you were in Jesus Christ Superstar. I know I saw you in it. And Spider-Man is its own universe as well.
Yes, we'll leave it at that. Yes, indeed.
Yes. I actually saw Spider-Man twice, and I enjoyed it. So,
you know, it made a lot of people really happy.
I'm glad you survived the experience.
Shalina and I have each done pantomimes, and we're each from Canada. We're each from Toronto. Funny enough.
Oh my god! Yeah.
Playing Brooklyn Jews on Broadway together. yeah, like Spider-Man for me was like a pantomime. Like, it was comedy, and you know what I mean. We like boo the villain and cheer the hero.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had a ball doing it. My mom was very happy when I left the show, but it was, you know, I had a blast.
Unharmed. Well, yeah, I was going to say, I mean, do you both feel like very comfortable singing in that kind of rock pop idiom? Is it what feels like natural for your voice?
Do you know what's really ironic is that when I was in college, I almost failed my pop rock class. Like, I literally got, I think, a C minus or something.
Wait, there's a pop rock class?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I was poops, McGee. I was terrible.
I want to know what pop rock class so is like.
Well, you know what? Because
C minus, not rocking hard enough.
I was definitely not rocking at all. Because, I mean, I was classically trained in all ways, ballet, you know, piano, voice. So I was this little soprano who was, you know, classically trained in all forms and learning how to kind of start to express myself. So I was really bad at it when I started off. And then I, you know, it's funny, actually, Mamma Mia was my first breakthrough into sort of more poppy kind of vocals. And from that, I just, you know, I love a challenge. I think, you know, you only grow when you're really challenged by something. If you're bad at something and you learn how to get better at it. And then it became this thing that I love to do. I went from, you know, classical soprano to, yeah, rock out girl.
You have like such an earthy voice too, which is nice. It's funny to think of you as like trilling.
Well, yeah, it's weird. It's funny. I guess we can, you know, our voices can do a lot more than we think they can. It's just a matter of like, you know, giving ourselves a chance to be more than we think we can be.
I was never trained vocally. I sang in rock bands growing up and went to a theater school. And
it was so cool.
Yeah, and I auditioned for Spring Awakening way back in the day and was very close to replacing Jonathan Groff on Broadway and didn't get the part. And they basically said, like, go take some singing lessons because, you know, you sing in bands and that's awesome. But, you know, so I did and came back and ended up getting the tour. And that was – so I kind of learned as I go. Like, I've sort of had the opposite thing. I have no training and have just kind of done it. And funny enough, singing the Jerry songs, because like he always talks about he loves like Cole Porter and Gershwin. I try to sing it classically, actually, because I think that's how he like interpreted the songs. That's how he would, you know.
That's interesting. I was going to say, like, what is the sort of most surprising thing that each of you has learned about like Carole and Jerry as you've gone along with the show?
When the first time we got to meet Carole, when she came into a rehearsal, and this was at the point when she didn't want she didn't want to have anything to do with the show because mm-hmm. it was quite painful for her, the story. She gave the green light for it to go ahead, but she didn't want to be part of it. She came in, and the first thing she said was, "Who's playing Jerry?" And I was like, "Huh?" I like put up my hand. And she was like, "Don't make him the villain. You know, the play, he's the antagonist. He has a lot of wrong things. But if you can do anything for me, don't make him the villain." So I took that to heart, because Jerry is troubled. He's very troubled in the story, and without sort of spoiling anything, there's a lot going on with him. But yeah, I've taken that to heart, and he passed away actually while I was while I was playing the part in the first year, and so I found that really difficult and also special to be you know playing this guy while you know well he wasn't here anymore. And so it's sort of a tribute to him. And what I find so amazing about Jerry is that he wanted in this show, like, he wanted his story of sort of failing Carol, he wanted it to be told. Like, he was like, "Well, I did the wrong thing. People should know that." You know, like that was literally his personality. And every time he saw Carol, apparently, to this day, he was like, "I'm so sorry." Like, every time he'd see her, you know?
It's so touching, though, because their relationship is so beautiful. Like, she still has so many positive things to say about him. And she has so much respect for him. And, like, every time I have a friend who works with her, and every time she gets up on stage, and if there isn't credit given to Jerry, she stops and she says, "I just want you all to know this is not just my song. The words are written by Jerry Goffin."
Yeah.
She's always very, you know, she's always giving kudos and respect out to the band members and to Jerry.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you must have been in the show the night that she surprised everyone in the audience,
yeah.
right?
Oh,
what
yeah.
was that
there's,
night like?
There's a hilarious clip on YouTube of her showing up. Everyone is crying on stage, and I'm just laughing because it's sort of so. I'm like, this is crazy. Like, Carole King is now on stage after doing the Carole King musical.
Yeah.
It was, you know, again, after months of her not wanting to be part of it, I think because the show became such a hit, mm-hmm. and it actually was such a joyful story, despite this painful thing, despite her painful story, it actually gave people so much joy. So I think people convinced her to come and see it, and she saw it and just loved it and was immediately so proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, she came on stage, surprised us after the show, surprised the audience, and raised like $30,000 for charity. Like said, "I'll sing any song you want." So she sang "You've Got a Friend." 10 people put up $10,000, and yeah, that was just an amazing night.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you've sort of been back and forth with her multiple times.
Well, yeah, she surprised me when I first started in the show. So after that, you know, that night that Jake was describing, I found an email in my inbox just shortly after I started the show. And she's like, "Hi, yeah, I hear you're great at the show. I'm going to come see you. Do you want to know when I'm coming?" And I was like, "Dear Miss King, please do not tell me when you're coming, because I will be, you know, I'll fall over. I'll be so
oh my
nervous."
God, of course.
So she laughed.
She's there.
You know, like, with a smiley face, she's like, "Okay, no problem. I won't tell you when I'm coming. It'll be sometime in April." So anyway, then of course, the guy who was playing Jerry at the time, Scott, kept teasing me every night. And anytime there was any kind of commotion in the audience, he's like, "Carole King's here," and I would have a heart attack. But anyway, she ended up surprising me, and it was fantastic. And then we ended up doing the Today Show together. And then last year we did the Kennedy Center Honors, and I got to play her. And I mean, I've gotten to meet her a bunch of times. It's been fantastic. I mean, I remember, like, when I got the offer, I was like, "Oh my gosh, if I get to meet Carole King, that will be, like, such an amazing thing."
Like, that alone was the coolest part of it.
And then
oh my god,
to, like,
I might get to meet Carole King.
Yeah. Yeah.
She seems like she would be a total delight.
She's like everyone's Jewish aunt.
Yes.
Like, she's just lovely. There's nothing sort of famous about her. She's just like a real person.
That's what makes her so great. And she's so generous. Like, she's so generous to everybody. She really is everything that, you know, you think and more.
Which is nice to know about your idols from growing up. I mean, you've had a different Jerry and you've had a different Carol. Like, what is it like having to form this, like, very strong bond on stage together and having done it with different people?
Immediate trust.
We found each other.
And now you're taking the show on the road.
Right.
Yeah, you know what? It is, though. It is immediate trust. I mean, it's funny because, like, being an actor, you know, so you have to form these relationships immediately. You know, husband, wife, brother, sister, mother, son, you know, child, mother, whatever it is. Like, it's, you got to kind of learn how to open yourself up and really, you know, give to each other right away. And so it takes, you know, it takes a special person to be able to, it takes a lot of trust to be able to do that with somebody.
I think it might be something to do with the fact we came from the same place. Mm-hmm. But there's like, yeah, we just started and it was just immediately so fun and easy and different every night. And yeah, just been yeah, the best doing it with this one over here.
Yeah, and I feel the same. Right. And I mean, sorry, not to go off too much on a tangent, but I always feel so strongly that, you know, there is never, no one person is ever responsible for a show or for a performance. Like, everything that is magical about theater happens between two people. And there is a really there's a real give and take, and it's a very, you know, without being too precious about it, it is precious and it is beautiful and it's delicate and you've got to take care of it. And I always feel very taken care of by Jake.
That's mm-hmm. nice. That's really nice. Aww. Thing to say. Oh, it's all like, there's, you know, I know it's pretend, right? It's fake, right? But we do the show eight times a week. There's no faking it after a certain point. Like, there is this reality of you, when you like someone, when you like working with someone, it's so evident. Like, it just
comes out organically. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Aww, that's so nice.
So, yeah.
To rewind a minute, I would love to hear about your rock band. That you
so would I.
Let's hear a little more about that.
Okay. I mean, there's a few.
What were their names and what did you do?
I suppose it's a little embarrassing. I don't know if the names are a bit embarrassing. I was in a band called Mind the Gap.
Mind the Gap.
Okay. Mind the Gap.
Amazing.
Which was taken from like a trip to like London, and there was like the, you know, the subway there or
yes,
something.
Yes.
Before every show, we had this recording of like Mind the Gap, and then we'd like. Anyway, we would play church basements in high school.
Okay.
Before we were, you know, we couldn't get into a club, right? So we would pack church basements with people and write songs. I was in a cover band called Funkasaurus Rex. I played the drums in that band.
Okay.
Yeah, for real?
Yes. Some genius came up with that.
Yeah. And then I was on this TV show called Degrassi when I was younger. Yes. And what was so cool is that they wanted songs for the character, like kind of, you know, high school band songs. And the music guy was like, I know you write songs. Do you want to just write all the music for all the bands? And I was like, sure. Like, I didn't even think twice about it.
Amazing.
He didn't have to do that at all. So I would write. So as a in high school, I was like writing music for this show.
That's weird training.
I know. Absolutely.
I'm the one weird person who was not a Degrassi obsessive. Did you and Drake cross over at all?
Yeah.
Ah!
Yeah.
Tell us everything.
At Billboard, we need
us everything.
To know,
discuss.
Like, every
discuss.
Single thing
Drake.
That Drake does.
Yeah, he's like, it's so funny that you say he's Drake, because his name's Aubrey, right? That's how we know him, you know?
Yeah, we like to call him Aubrey when we're talking about him seriously. So
right,
it's
yes,
fine.
Yes. Yeah, no, he's like good, great guy, like great guy. And yeah, it's funny because on the show, he would be writing like rap and I was like writing like rock. And it was like, I don't know. We'd like go off in corners and like write music and like joke about that. But no, he's like great guy and pretty amazing success story right there.
And you're in very different places now, but both doing music, so that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so funny. So do you, when you're outside the theater, do you need a little Carol King break? Like, what kind of music do you guys like listening to when you're not on stage?
I'm going through a big sort of folk, like indie folk kind of period in my life. So
yeah, just gangster rap for me.
Nothing but gangster rap all the time.
I just like pass his dressing room, it's just like rap.
Nothing
would be anything wrong with that. That's great.
No,
that's very,
I mean,
cool.
it's like I grew up with folk music. Like, I had hippie parents and I love this music. Like, this, you know, even though I was not born in the same generation, I love like Paul Simon and James Taylor and Carole King, and
mm-hmm.
so I do listen to all that stuff all the time. But yeah, we put Carole on pause sometimes because we hear those songs quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cool. Well, I'll let you guys go and chill before your show tonight. But thank you so much for coming in. And beautiful. I have to say, I've walked past your theater a few times on the weekend recently, and they're like early in the morning. There are people outside waiting to buy tickets, which is such a like encouraging and like, yay, Broadway.
Such a lovely
kind
thing.
Of 3 years
thing
to say. 3 years
into a run.
Too,
right?
Into a run. Pretty, that's pretty incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. We're very lucky.
Very grateful. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Bye. Thanks again for listening to Billboard on Broadway, everyone. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe to us on iTunes. I want to give a quick shout out to our theme music, which comes from the musical Spring Awakening, which many of you may know and love. If not, check it out. And please tune in again soon. We're hurtling towards Tony season. We've got lots of exciting guests coming up in the coming weeks. And to keep up to date on both the podcast and musical theater news, please check out Billboard's Broadway Vertical at billboard.com/Broadway.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.